Touch them, Lord God, with a touch of grace, a touch of mercy, a touch of love, a touch of healing, deliverance, and peace. Father, we ask that you would give them what they need in this service on today. Father, we know there's nothing too hard for you. You specialize in those things that seem impossible. Lord God, you can make a way where there seemed to be no way. Father, as you called the children of Israel to the Red Sea, you made a way, a highway through the Red Sea. And we thank you, Lord, for that example. Many of us are facing Red Seas of life now. And Father, we're looking to you, God, for a way of escape. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name for your word. We thank you for your word because it strengthens and sustains us. We thank you, Lord, for your blood, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us because it redeemed us and it brought us back. The blood of Jesus cures us, cleanses us, and connects us and covers us. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power that guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for clarity of thought and precision of speech in which we can display and that we can interpret and preach and teach and talk about your word. Father, we thank you now that we are able to hear your word and receive it with joy. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing to heal and deliver and set free that is present even with us now. And for you said in your word, where two or three are gathered in my name, that I'll be God in the midst. And we thank you for being right here with us today, God. We love you, Father. Father, we thank you now for what you're going to do in this service and what you already done. We thank you for what we achieve and what we receive in this service. Father, you said in your word that in your presence is fullness of joy and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. And we came, Lord God, to receive from you. And we also came to bless your name because your name is great and greatly to be praised. Father, do what you want to do. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you now. Amen. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah. I want to hold you very long, but I want you to think about possessing the promises that God has for you. Some things that we must do in preparation of that. But I want to say and use for a thought, a title, a topic, possessing the promise by staying in the presence. Amen. The only way we can possess the promise is if we stay in the presence. Amen. Amen. We must stay in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. And so all of a sudden, it says that in verse number 8, it says, and it came to pass when they had done the circumcision, all the people that were bold in their place into the camp until they were made whole. Look at what God did. He allowed Joshua. Now, here's Joshua. He circumcised every man. Now, this is people who are 40 years old and under. Everybody was near about the same age. Huh? And all of them got circumcised. All at the same time. All at the same time. Do you know that God will put us together and he'll begin to do some things, not just in my life, but in your life, too? But the Bible said after Joshua did this, they had to stay in one place until they were made whole. When we get saved or when we think we know the Lord, we won't sit in one place. We think, I was talking to somebody the other day, they're going to save the world. I'm like, you do know that you got to sit down because you just got circumcised. Y'all don't hear me. You know how painful that is for a grown man? That's why they do it when the baby's 8 days old, when the baby's just born, because he don't know how to complain about how it hurts. You want to turn a grown man into a baby? Circumcise him. But he told him, stay in a place until you all be made whole. And the problem is we got people who are not made whole, who didn't heal right, trying to help other folks. Y'all with me today? If you're not whole and you're not healing right, you can't help me. If you got infected, don't teach me how to be infected. Because that's the first thing people who are not whole, they start trying to tell you what's how bad. No, I don't like that church over there. I don't like those people. I don't like this. And no, don't believe that. No. They tell you all this other stuff rather than just telling you that God is able to heal you. That no matter what you're going through, God is able to deliver you. No matter who done it, you got to forgive, and God will help you to get over the hump. And whatever you don't think you can get through, God can bless you to where you can get over it. I wish I had somebody in the house today that say, I'm whole. And I'm not going to infect people with stuff that's negative. I'm not going to tell them things that ain't right. I'm not going to keep putting stuff on them that seem to be something that will infect their heart and they can't love the way that they should love. It's a shame that we can't talk to people and make them understand that we got to love the way God wants us to love. Instead of that, we upbraid our love. You can love that one with all, but that one there, you got to love them with a long-handled spoon, love them from a distance. We try to tell them how, and that ain't even scripture. He said, love your enemy. Lord have mercy. Can I preach it for real? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're not whole, you can't even love yourself. So that's the reason why you can't love your neighbor. That's why you got a problem with me, because you look in the mirror and you got a problem with the one in the mirror. Lord help me here. You don't like your lips, you don't like your hips, you don't like your eyes, you're trying to change them. You don't like your hair, it ain't straight enough, it's too kinky, curly. You don't like yourself. Since you don't like yourself, you don't like me. Tell somebody, love yourself so you can love me too. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get finished with this, y'all. Try to get finished with this. But they were circumcised, and there was a cutting away. And he told them, stay right here until you get whole. Quit bouncing around. Quit trying to go do this and quit trying to go. We all come in here. You know why we all here? Because we need to be made whole. Yeah. We're all in here to get whole. And what's going to make us whole is the word of God. Yeah. Amen. I have no room to judge you because I'm hurting too. Yeah. Lord, have mercy here. And so we look at each other, we judge one another, and we don't realize we need each other. Amen. 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 Let me go on. Verse 9 through 12 talks about the celebration that they had. Celebration. It said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, after the circumcision, they had a celebration. After I got healed, I celebrate. But you know what we do? We don't celebrate a lot of times after we get healed. We go tell everybody how bad it was. Ain't no celebration, because we talk about, oh, man, you don't want to go through that. We scare. We scare. Instead of telling them, man, I'm so glad I got to get rid of all that flesh, all that skin. I ain't need it. It was excess. Put me overweight. Made me. Come on and say, man. I didn't need all of that. I'm so glad that I laid my burden down. But we don't tell them that. We'll tell them all about how bad it was. Yes. Oh, but God healed me. Yes. Didn't take him long. Yes. Okay. We don't want to go through the process of healing. We want God to instantly just do it. But God could have healed them in a day. Do you know that? God could have did it that day, but he wanted them to stay in one place so they can understand what it feels like to go through something together. Because they had never went through anything together. How is it that when we start going through something, we want to push back from people? And God is saying, all of us are going through something. And so you need to go through together, because there's safety in the multitude. Lord have mercy. We got to understand, God allow us to go. While I'm preaching, I could be going through something. While you're sitting and listening, you're going through something. I guarantee, if I ask the question, how many of us are going through something today, it will be so many hands go up in here. And so while we're going through together, let God heal us together. And you know what? The same word that comes out will heal you no matter what your problem is. The same word. He sent his word and what? Healed. It's just like taking Neosporin and putting it on a burn or a cut. It'll heal the same. If your cut is on your forehead, it'll heal that. If it's on your foot, no matter where you put it, it's the same thing. All right, let me go on. Let me go on. Verse 9 talks about it. He says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, from off you. Wherefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal, means the rolling away. Now, what we got to understand here in this text is that God spoke to them and said, look, I've taken away the reproach of Egypt. In other words, when you come out of Egypt, they know you as the slaves. You are nothing but a slave, right? And so the reproach of you being a slave, people with no home, the label that you that's been put on you, God say, I'm taking that label off you. I don't know about you, but it's good to have the label taken off. Somebody might have said you were a liar, you were a backbiter, you were whatever. I don't know what they say. They might say, oh, you ain't no good, you this or that. But God will roll away the label. You know how you peel off the label? So when you peel off the label, you don't know what it was. You see, we got this thing, what we call it in safety, we call it a topic called HASCOM. And what HASCOM is that it says that you got to label everything, no matter what it is, you got to put a label on it so people will know what it is so they won't accidentally ingest it or get it on themselves or whatever if it is a hazardous chemical. So you must label it. But sometimes people take the label off because they want to put something else in the bottle. So what God did, he took the label off so that he can put the Holy Spirit. Y'all don't hear me. That rule don't apply to God, because he took the label off so that he could put something else in there, and he relabeled me. And see, and that's legal. You can do that in HASCOM. You can relabel it as long as it says about what it is on the inside. And so instead of me being a liar, a backbiter, a whoremonger, God rolled the label off and he put a newness in me. And he said, a child of God. Do I have anybody in the house that God has relabeled lately? They said you was this. They said you were that. You don't have to worry. And don't let the labels limit you. But guess what? God will relabel you. And now you're a child of the King. You're somebody who God loves. You're somebody who God wants to bless. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is good stuff for me. I don't know about you. Oh, my God. He cut it away so he can put something new there. Amen. And so here it is. It says that the label or the rolling away of the reproach came off of them. And he called the place what? Gilgal. And you know what happened? They begin in verse 10. Let me read it. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover the 14th day of the month, even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn. Now notice what happened here. All of a sudden, they are in a place, and God have them circumcised. He takes away the reproach. And now the thing about it is, how did he take away the reproach when ain't nothing happened? See, that's where faith kicks in. There's no significant event or nobody that came over and said, you know, we don't look at you as a slave anymore. We look at you as a powerful people. Nobody came over and said that. But God knew what he was about to do. God knew that he would show the people in the region that they weren't just a whole bunch of slaves that ain't have no home, because now he's giving them a home. Amen. And so sometimes we may not know what God is up to, but you just got to trust him. Amen now. And so he says that I want you to keep the Passover. So what they begin to do now, they begin to get in a feast of celebration. But how, God, can we keep a Passover which we've never kept, because we didn't have meat in the wilderness and we didn't have bread in the wilderness other than this manna that you gave us? I wish I had somebody. Notice what else? If they didn't have the bread to cook in the wilderness, and they didn't have the lamb to kill in the wilderness, and they didn't have all of that, and they didn't keep the Passover, think about what happened. You got to understand that there was some folks that didn't know how to prepare that lamb. There were some folks that didn't know how to cook hot water cornbread. Can I say it like that? That's what they had. They took cakes of corn and they made cornbread. I wish I had somebody here. It was flat pieces of bread. And so somehow somebody had to show them how to do it for over 2 million people, almost 3 million people. And all of a sudden, here they were in a place. Now they're ready to celebrate. And because of what God has done, how God has healed them, how God has delivered them, how he's rolled away the reproach off of them, they begin to see God pulling some things together. And they decided, we're going to do what God said do, and we're going to keep the Passover and unleavened bread, which lasted for one solid week. All they did was celebrate. All they did was party. All they did was have a good time. This celebration prepared them for what they were about to encounter, because they had to go and get Jericho and make that their first possession. I wish I had somebody in the house. You just don't know that you got to celebrate before you can get what God has for you. You don't understand that you got to have a party. Oh, come on and say amen here. We got to have a praise party before we get a blessing, before we have the promises of God. Come on and say hallelujah. We have to start praising God. When they kept the Passover feast, it reminded them of the Passover. In other words, they were celebrating that God didn't take them out, that God didn't kill their forefathers, and that's why they were here. I wish I had somebody. It also means that reminded them that they had to keep the keep the feast of unleavened bread, to let them know that you don't need to take sin in, but you need to keep sin out. I wish I had somebody here. They feasted as they were commanded. They celebrated before the battle because they already had the victory. I wish I had a few people that understood this, that you got to celebrate, you got to feast, you got to have a good time. But whenever we go through something, we start to, I can't eat nothing because I feel so bad. I don't want to do nothing because I'm just going to sit here. I don't want to have no good time. I just want to be solemn and serious. But when you know God has given you the victory, you ain't got to worry. It ain't nothing you got to do except celebrate. You just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I thank you because you've given me the victory in Christ Jesus. Come on and say amen here. The Bible say, now thanks be unto God who's given us this victory, who causes us to triumph in all things. I wish I had somebody. And when we look at this, the Bible said that the manna began to cease, and no longer did they have to drink eat manna or drink water from a rock, because they had what they needed. I wish I had somebody. In other words, God said, I don't have to provide for you in the way that I've been providing for you, because now I placed you in a place where you can make stuff happen for yourself. I wish I had some people in the house that say, I'm not just relying on God to rain it down from heaven, but God put me in a place where I can go get it for myself. God put me in a place where I can start making it happen. God put me in a place where I can have more than one option. You see, why in the wilderness they had only one option, but when they came into the promise, God said, here it is, you can do whatever you need to do. But I'm so glad today that God didn't give me one option. I'm so glad today that I came out of the wilderness, come on and say amen here, with Jesus on my mind. I got more than one option. I can make it out of wheat, or I can make it out of corn. I wish I had somebody. I don't have to drink from one rock, because I can drink from the many rivers that's in the promised land. Come on and shout glory. Well, I thought y'all wanted to go there, y'all don't. Oh, hallelujah. But it goes on to say the manna ceased. It said because they ate of the fruit of the land. And guess what? That year, he said, you see, you don't know what God is doing. But when God begins to do it, it doesn't take him long to do it. I wish I had somebody. They always used to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always, yes, he is. He'll be on time. He'll come just in the nick of time. It said before the year was out, they were eating of the good of the land. You see, they were in a wilderness just earlier this year, but then all of a sudden they're in a land of promise and they're eating the fruit. All I'm trying to tell you is that I don't care where you are now. You may be in the wilderness right now. Oh, but by December, you can be eating of the fruit of the land. You may have a drought in your life right now, but just wait a little while longer. You can be eating of the fruit of the land. You may have some things that's holding you back now. Just hold on a little while longer. You'll be free from those things in just a little while. Come on and shout yes in here. You see, you got to understand something. Your condition is not your conclusion. We have a destiny. In other words, when you look at the word destiny, the word des and destiny means that I'm able to be determined to make it to where God wants me to make it. I am determined because of my destiny. He said you'll eat of the good of the land if you're willing and obedient. I wish I had some willing folks. I wish I had some obedient folks that said, I'm ready to eat. Come on and shout yes. I'm ready to eat of the good. The Bible said this in Psalm 23. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do I have anybody that said, I got some enemies, but I ain't afraid to eat? I'm going to sit right down where God prepared for me, and I'm going to eat of the good of the land. They can watch me if they want. They can talk about me if they want to, but I'm going to eat. Hallelujah. When I look at the scripture, the Bible says that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he saw a man standing over. The Bible says that Joshua ran up to the man with sword in hand and said, who are you here for? Are you for us or are you against us? I wish I had somebody. The man said this. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. I wish I had somebody. He said, I'm just here. In other words, if you need me, I'm here. You don't come to fight against me, because if you're on my side, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Do I have anybody that said all things are working for my good? Come on and shout yes. What shall we say when tribulation comes, when trials come, that the Lord is on my side? Come on and shout yes. Somebody said, whose side are you on? But I'm so glad to say I'm on the Lord's side. Anybody in the house, say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm here to do his will. I'm here to do it his way. Shout yes. Shout yes. In verse 15, he said, Joshua, take your shoes off, because the place you're standing is holy ground. Joshua got on his face. After a week of partying, he approached God, the captain of the host. Now, who is this captain? His name is Jesus. My wheel in the middle of a wheel. His name is Jesus. Abel's vindicator. His name is Jesus. He was Aaron's rod. Somebody say yes here. He was Samson's jawbone. He's the balm of Gilead. Anybody know Jesus? Come on and shout yes. He was the fire retardant blanket to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was Daniel's muzzle that they put on the lion. Somebody say yes. Come on and say yes. He's the bread of heaven. Come on and give God praise. He's my grandma's will. Somebody say yes. He's my grandpa's bridge over troubled water. But he's my friend. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. And he's my Lord. He came down through 39 prophets and 42 generations to circumcise my heart. He died. He cut a covenant with God and said, I know that he ain't no good. I know that he ain't all of that, but I'll die for him because I love him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever is you, the whosoever believe it on him shall have everlasting life. The Bible says that Jesus said, Father, into thy hand. I commend my spirit and gave up the ghost. He died. They didn't have to kill him because he died. They didn't have to slaughter him because he died. They didn't have to break his legs because he chose to die. Say yeah. Say yeah. Anybody know it? That he died, but he didn't stay dead. Joseph Arimathea got Jesus' body, wrapped it up, put it in a borrowed tomb. I say, why? Oh, why was it a borrowed tomb? Because anytime you borrow something, you ought to give it back. And on the third day, he got up. They say, early. Say early, with all power, gave the grave back. Somebody say yes. But not only that, he descended up to heaven. And the Bible says, when Jesus comes back, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up. But if you ain't circumcised, if you ain't caught up now, you won't be caught up later. And meet him in the air. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Anybody know he's all right? Won't God fix it? Won't God be a heart fixer? A mind regulator? I say, won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Won't he, won't he? Open up doors that's closed in your face. Won't he, won't he? When people talk about you, won't God elevate you? When they hate, God elevates. Somebody say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. He's all right. Do you know he's all right? If you know he's all right, tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Say, oh, neighbor, I don't mean to bug you, but I gotta let you know, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Do you know he's all right? Say yeah. Say yeah, I know he's all right. Anybody know him? Say, anybody know him? Do you trust God when you can't trace him? After he circumcised you, it ain't no time to cry. It's a time to celebrate. Can I get a few people that'll stand on your feet and say, I came. Just for the celebration, I came just to give him praise. I came because he blessed my life. I came because he healed my body. I came because he saved my soul. I came because he made me whole. I came to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt, to wrap my head back and say thank you. Say thank you. Say thank you. And he all right. And he all. And he all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yes. When you go to a celebration, if you're there, you ought to praise him. If you go to a celebration, there ought to be some music that make you want to dance, make you want to bob your head, put your hand in the air, move your feet a little bit. There ought to be a song that make you want to turn around and dance with somebody because I feel good. Come on and say yes. Anybody got the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, I'm drunk on the Holy Ghost. You know how some people, when they get drunk, they all they want to do is hug on you. I love you. Know I love you. They want to remind you that they love you. Then if they got money, they say, here, you need something. And if they drunk and music come on, they don't mind dancing. If I can get a few drunk folks, they say, I'm drunk, I'm full, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna dance.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box.